Welcome to the inaugural PixCast. This is your host, the talented Mr. Pixley, along with my counterpart, the man with absolutely no opinion other than to razz me for the next 15 to 20 minutes, the Major. We're going to start off with a little recap of the Thursday night game. For those of you that read my blog, you saw that the data says that Super Bowl champions tend to cover on week one. Unfortunately for us, Hines Ward did not cooperate and took a bad beat there. I'm so confident in the pick. I still like it. The Steelers put themselves in position to win. Unfortunately for those of us at thetalentedmrpixley.com, didn't turn out so well. For those of you that have sent us emails, we do appreciate your feedback. And yes, we do realize that the Steelers did not cover, and that was our first pick of the year. But it is a long old season. There is much data to go through and many, many more games to be played. Major, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I mean, you can't be down. It's the start of a new season. That's a wonderful gift. Very happy about that. Did take a bad one from Hines Ward, but that happened. So.
Well, let's dive right into week one and discuss our first game on the docket, Miami versus Atlanta. This game opened at -4 for Atlanta, 43 for the total. Line has not moved, still at -4 and 43. I don't have too much of an opinion on this game whatsoever, other than the fact that Sparano is going into his second season, and historically, second season coaches in the first game tend to do all right. I don't like 4 as a key number, but unfortunately, this game just doesn't have much going for us. Both teams didn't show much in the preseason. Matt Ryan could or could not enter into that sophomore slump, but I think this is one we're going to stay away from. Kansas City at Baltimore is a very interesting game for those of us here at MrPixley.com. This game opened at 8.5 to Baltimore with 37.5 on the total. This line has slid to -13 for Baltimore with 36 at the total. Much of that comes with the release of the offensive coordinator for Kansas City, as well as the questionable status of Matt Castle, their $36 million man. You know, you got to love those Belichick disciples, but I'm not quite sold on Castle. Some interesting data on this game. Baltimore is 7-3 at home against the spread when favored by 10.5 or higher since 2000. Only 3-6-1 on the total, meaning 3 over, 6 under, and 1 push. Very interesting, though, is that Kansas City is 8-1 on the road since 2000 when getting 10.5 or more, and 3-0 versus the total going over. Additionally, a side note, 3-0 in Baltimore against the spread, all three coming as road dogs. I have an issue on this, Major, because I cannot bet a bad team. Kansas City showed absolutely nothing in the preseason. And, you know, if Brody Croyle gets in there, I don't see how anybody's going to score points, A, and B, how they're going to cover this spread. What's your take on this one?
Well, unfortunately, I had the pleasure of watching all 4 of the Chiefs preseason games. They are, in fact, terrible. The thing that's puzzling about the game is that from watching it, I'm not sure whether or not their backup quarterbacks are better or worse than Castle is. Baltimore has given away a lot of points in the game, and I guess you never know. It's an early game, and so you just need to see what the Chiefs have going forward.
Listen, I'm not a big fan of the Belichick disciples at all. They have not shown anything thus far, and I just don't see how they're going to get this done. Unfortunately, on the data side, this game screams Kansas City. So, being the betting man that I am, I may have to ride that trend and go with Kansas City, or at least hit that over on the total at 36. You figure worst-case scenario, Kansas City is going to play absolutely horrific, and that defense is going to be able to score a couple of points, and you know they're going to be able to score a little bit more on offense than they have historically. Moving on to Philadelphia, Carolina. This game opened at 2.5, which is a big no-no on the favorites with 44 as the total, has slid to a pick 'em and 43.5 at the total. I'm not necessarily a huge fan of this game. Neither of these teams really did anything in the preseason. Offseason, outside of the acquisition of Vic, nobody really made a big move. I don't quite understand why the betting public is jumping on the Philadelphia bandwagon, which makes me want to stay with Carolina. You know, it's an automatic three at any point for a home favorite. I don't see Philadelphia as being a 3 or a 6 point home favorite against Carolina. Next is one of my favorite games of the week, Denver at Cincinnati. Denver is an absolute train wreck this year. Besides the Marshall incident, and I've of course said my my piece on the Belichick disciples, additionally trading away your franchise quarterback after a chick fight in the locker room, does not bode well. This game opened at a pick'em and has gone to 4.5 for the Bengals with Carson Palmer behind the helm, who has not taken but a couple of snaps in preseason. I love the Bengals. I can't bet bad teams. Denver has shown absolutely nothing. Cedric Benson hasn't played. Kyle Orton is hurt. You know, he did have that abrasion on his big finger, and he's now on injured reserve due to the Band-Aid that he's got on there. Kyle Orton was a loser in Chicago. He'll be a loser in Denver. You gotta like Cincinnati in this at home.
Well, unfortunately, I think you're betting bad team versus bad team here. Cincinnati is historically awful. The only reason you may love them is because you actually love them. In real life, Palmer, I'd be surprised if he makes it past two series without going down.
Ocho Cinco's off Twitter, though, which could show he may be focused this week.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see about that. I am going to absolutely hammer the Bengals in this game. Until Denver shows me something of any relevance towards scoring, I don't think that they can do it. This guy is trying to be, this coach is trying to be the next big thing in the NFL. Seems to me like he's got a little bit of an ego trip going on, and I don't like it. Additionally, Marvin Lewis is fighting for his job in Cincinnati. And for those of you that watch Hard Knocks, it seems as though they got after it a little bit more this preseason. I'm going to move on to another very intriguing game, Minnesota at Cleveland. And oh my gosh, Brady Quinn is finally getting the start. Do you think it will matter, Major?
No, I don't. And you're locked in on Brady Anderson's he's a lock to go, or Brady Quinn's a lock to go.
It's speculatory at this point.
Speculatory. I don't think it matters.
Is speculatory even a word?
It might be. Cleveland's terrible either way, and they're going to get beat.
I disagree with you. I think Cleveland has got some things going. They did all right against the spread last year. This line opened at 2 + 2 and 40.5, has gone to +4 and 39.5. I do not like home dogs at more than 3 in week 1 at all. I think Minnesota's good. I think Favre's good. I think he's going to throw interceptions. The thing with Favre that has always been intriguing to me is that he's great to bet after week 9 or 10 when he realizes that he's 54 years old. Adrian Peterson's going to take 40 carries for the next 8 weeks and then realize that he doesn't have the legs to go. So I always like to hold off on Minnesota a little bit until later on in the season. But for week 1, I'm going to go with that home dog. And I'm going to hit Cleveland pretty hard. I think Quinn does okay. They have a good game plan. This is a big deal for Cleveland this year. They've made some decisions. The man genius got run out of New York last year. He's got a little something to prove. I think they're going to come ready to play.
I think they're a cream puff. I think Favre has a field day and Adrian Peterson has a field day.
Major, always shooting me down, and I do appreciate that. Moving on to the Jets at Houston. Line opened at 4.5 from the LVSC with a total at 45. Lines stay the same at 4.5. Total's gone down a little bit to 43, and I see it. Houston, historically, has had a lot of overs, and it hasn't been because of them. It has been because of the fact that their defense is absolutely atrocious. Sanchez could have a day. Even if he doesn't have a day, I still don't think they can stop any offense with any sort of power running game. This game is going to go over in a big way. Additionally, I'm not sold on Houston. I hear it. I read this thing by Peter King in Sports Illustrated, how he's talking about how Houston's going to win the division. Are you kidding me? They have to play against Peyton Manning. There's absolutely no way Houston is going to do this, and it's going to be proven in week one when this comes down to the absolute wire, and the Jets, in my opinion, have a great shot of covering. Although I was reading a very interesting piece by Scott Rickenbach at VegasInsider.com talking about top 10 home advantages, and Houston actually ranks up there being a 3.5-point favorite anytime they go in at home. Unfortunately, this line's 4.5, and I still don't like it. Not sold on Houston.
Well, I'm a Jets fan, so I automatically exclude myself from this discussion. I think they're going to be terrible this year, but we'll see. Mark Sanchez has got a long way to go, and it's a rookie quarterback.
You think they're going to be horrible every year?
A rookie quarterback on a bad team.
They're not that bad.
We'll see. I think they're pretty solid on defense, and I think offensively they have a long way to go.
I have a lot of respect for a team with a guy who's been waiting in the wings to be the starting quarterback for the last 4 years.
For the last seven years.
I mean, Kellen Clemens, seriously, you're their guy, and you've been beat out consistently 3 times over.
Wow.
And you've had a coach run out of town. Front office is in shambles, but I'm still not sold on Houston. I'm sorry. Jacksonville at Indianapolis, our first divisional game. This game opened at 7.5 and 43, still at 7.5, but at 44.5. I hate betting overs on Peyton Manning. He is the king of ball control. These guys will get up by 14 points and shut it down. This game is going under. They always go under at home. Not at all sold on the over at this total. Additionally, I think 7.5 is a lot. Jacksonville has a lot to show. I don't know what the status is on Jones-Drew, but I don't like 7.5 in any divisional game, home or road.
Well, I think Jones-Drew, he's out. And if he's out, they're done. Debatably, Jacksonville has the worst nickname in the history of the NFL, so I hate them anyway. I can't like him in this game.
This is the NFL, Major. You don't think they've got somebody behind Jones-Drew who can't run the football?
Well, they don't have Jones-Drew. They don't have Jones-Drew behind Jones-Drew.
Jack Del Rio. This game, they will be lucky if there are 14 total points in this game. He will run the ball consistently. Gerard can't throw. He can't run. He can't play special teams either, for that matter.
What's the line again? What's the line?
Calling 7.5 in Indianapolis at home.
No, I think Indy wins this one. New coach, got a proving time that Manny can still do it without Dungy.
I disagree. I think Peyton yells at the coach, takes over, yeah. Puts on the coach's hat.
Prima donna, Peyton Manning, takes over everything.
I'm just saying, his head is big, and that's physically. He's got Gatorade. He's got all sorts of things going. He doesn't need to cover. They win by 4. It's 20-16. Because of a safety due to a bad call.
Interesting.
I love it. I hate that game. But I also hate 7.5. Detroit at New Orleans. I'm going to mark this down in week one. Detroit will not win 3 games, but they will cover 9 times this year. And I think this might be the start of it. And let me just break this down for you a little bit. New Orleans has no defense. Reggie Bush can play 7 plays without thinking about what he lost in the Kardashian situation before he gets hurt. He's a little, he's off center a little bit. He's thinking. This line opened at 11.5 and 50 because New Orleans typically scores in the 30s, but they also let go 40 points. So you know it's going over to 70. Moved to 13.5.
Well, it all depends on Stafford. I mean, you look at 48.5. New Orleans is going to do its share. It's what Stafford can do to bring the Lions down the field a couple of times. We'll see. It's going to be a long road to hoe for those guys, though, if they don't get a win in the first couple of weeks.
I see an offensive coordinator who is trying to give their $63 million man a little bit of confidence with some over-the-middle dumps, using the pass as a run, opening it up a little bit. He's not going to go downfield. There's no way. No way in week one. I don't see this. I just don't see a lot of points being scored completely. I see a lot of run. You know, Breeze is going to let it go. But if you look at his preseason games, man, he was playing against the cream puffs of the NFL and throwing all over the place. At some point, the Saints' lack of defense is going to catch up with them.
Well, I don't think it's going to be against the Lions.
Well, that is your own opinion. I hate 13 in any way, shape, or form. I'm not telling all of those in Pixley Nation to go out and hammer the Lions this week. I'm just saying take a good hard look at it. And if that sucker goes to 14 or 14 and a half, it may be one to jump on. Here's one for you, Major. Mm-hmm. Dallas at Tampa. This line opened at Dallas -2.5. Road favorite. We hate those. We especially hate 2.5 on the favorite. So it's already leaning dog. And it has gone to +6 and 39. Are the Bucs really that bad?
Well, I think they are. They're pretty bad. I don't know that they... 6.5 is a big number at home. I think the Cowboys probably get in there and beat the spread on it, but Tampa's not going to. I don't think Tampa wins that game.
Look, Major, outside of my intrigue on Kansas City right now, this is the other one that's really jumping out at me. Tampa has historically had a great defense with enough offensive firepower to stay in the game. It's a home game. You tell me what Dallas has this year. Other than our boy Tony Simpson. I mean, I don't think he doesn't have the firepower around him anymore. They're old. Jerry Jones is more concerned about the Jones Church that he built, opening that sucker up with the $75 parking in week one. He's got $1.2 billion on the line. He's worried about 2 weeks from now. I think Tampa wins this game outright. Hit the money line on that.
Do it.
I may do it. Next game. We're going to the afternoon session. This is the one where the data actually does a little bit of talking. Let's talk about San Francisco at Arizona. Game opens at Arizona -7 and 48.5. Turns to -6.5 and 46.5. Okay. I wrote on my blog today about Super Bowl winners and their ability to cover. I'm going to flip my page here and give everybody in Pixley Nation a little tidbit when it comes to the Super Bowl and those Super Bowl losers every year. Against the spread since 1995, the Super Bowl loser is 4-9 in week one. They are 0-8 since 2000. Additionally, 4-9 over under and 0-8 since 2000. Every one of these games has gone under, and it makes sense. These teams come in there with a fat line. This is a divisional game, mind you. Okay, nobody's laying a touchdown at home. These are the Cardinals. They made a run last year. Good for them. They did not do much to secure their defense. San Francisco made some gains. They got better towards the end of the year. Singletary's a passionate guy. I love the Niners in this game. Major, hit the bell. Do we have a bell? Somebody get a bell.
There's no bells.
This might be the master lock of the week. We'd like to thank our sponsors for that. What's your take on this
one? I like San Francisco a lot this year. If only for the one thing, I saw a piece on SportsCenter about them running a hill, and I love that they run a hill. And for that alone, I think that that puts them at 8-8 this year. If not, 9-7. And I think that they go in and dominate Arizona, because Arizona last year is smoke and mirrors.
They're 8-8.
They're a terrible football team that's perennially terrible, and they will be again this year.
I completely agree with you. And I'm going to go back to two things that Singletary did to really show how he is in control of the San Francisco offense. One, throwing Vernon Davis off the sideline. And you know what? If Major keeps going against me, I'm going to throw him out of this studio. And two, which I'm doing right now, he pulled his pants down in the middle of a pep talk. I'm trying to give you a pep talk and get you on my side here. Even though you're on my side a little bit, I'm going to tell you that I'm standing on this chair with my pants down saying San Francisco covers in this game.
Well, it's all about the hill. San Francisco runs a hill, and they'll beat the Cardinals by a touchdown.
Also, let's talk about the fact that they're not going to score at will against San Francisco's defense. This game is going under, okay? Arizona, historically, for the last couple of years, has been all about the over. I love that. Super duper. It's all going to balance out in the end. This game is going under. Hit the Niners. Hit the unders. I love it. I like the unders more than the Niners, though, just so that's known. Moving on, Washington at the Giants. Another divisional game in week one. This line opened at 5.5 and 39, has slid to 6.5 and 37.5. I hate Washington. I think Zorn is a bum. I think they paid $100 million for a washed-up defensive lineman. The personnel has never been there in Washington. And I know, and you all are going to get ready for the 32nd spiel where Major talks about how Jason Campbell is the greatest thing that's ever been in the NFL, and I'm not buying it. Peyton Jr. runs wild on these guys. This is a cover and a half. Washington goes back to D.C., tail between legs, trying to reload for next week. Are they playing the Bengals or the Chiefs the next week? I hope so, because they're going to need to. This is going to be an absolute bloodbath.
No 30 seconds, just I like Campbell. I like the Skins a little bit. That's it. They and San Francisco are my surprise teams of the year.
Washington is your surprise team of the year.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're giving me a hard time. And we do not swear at www.mrpixley.com unless it's necessary. And I'm just going to say, you're giving me shit about the Bengals this year, and you're going to hop on Washington. You're going to hop on the Zorn train right now.
Campbell's going to play 16 games. Palmer will play about 4 and then go sit it out for the next 12.
But you've got his little brother. You've got Palmer too. It's like Peyton Jr. for the Giants.
No. Jordan Palmer. Nobody's worried about Jordan Palmer.
Well, there are folks out there that are worried about Jordan Palmer. For those of you that watch Hard Knocks, I mean, he's got that GoPee.com talking about the best times during a movie to go take a pee. I mean, he's got vision. He's thinking about life after football.
The best time to go take a pee during a Bengals game is the Bengals game.
Well played. Well played. I lobbed that one out there. All right, moving on. St. Louis at Seattle. This is intriguing to me. St. Louis is brutal. I have no respect for anybody that has Richie Incognito on their team or their roster. St. Louis is horrible. Seattle, you never know. I mean, they're that Pacific Northwest team. It's almost like the Mariners. You don't realize that they're good until they've won 106 games and then lose in the first round of the playoffs, i.e. Hasselbeck. But we'll rewind. I digress. I like Seattle in this game. It opens at -6 and 44. It has slid to 8.5 and 41.5. I think that's actually a decent line for this game. I was talking earlier about that article that Rickenbach wrote. Outside of the Steelers, Seattle has the best home field advantage in the NFL, probably because everybody's suffering from jet lag.
Oh, you got to go 2,000 miles to get there.
Well, St. Louis only has to go about 1,200, but still. I like Seattle in this game. I am actually going to bet Seattle in this game. Historically, they don't like to cover. But I like them this week. I see this line coming down a bit, too. People are going to hop on that Seattle wagon. On that St. Louis wagon. And I think Seattle might get a couple of points back in this. I do actually like the over in this game as well. I see a humongous lack of defense, per usual. The greatest show on turf is now kind of like the fourth ring of the three-ring circus. It's still a show, but it's like the bearded lady. It's worth a couple of bucks to go watch, but it provides a little bit of entertainment. I see him scoring. Night game, Chicago. My surprise team of the year, thanks to the Belichick disciple slapping Jay Cutler across the face in a contest there, trying to figure out who was going to be the backup quarterback for him. Taking on Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers has something to prove, obviously, not like he did in last year or the year before that or the 5 years that he sat on the bench backing up Favre. Not impressed with Green Bay this year. This line opened at a very modest -3.44. People are actually betting Green Bay in this, and I cannot see it. The Bears were one franchise quarterback away from being one of the most dominant NFC teams over the last 3 or 4 years. They have a little bit of problems at wide receiver, not a lot of depth, a lot of fresh faces out there. But hey, Cutler doesn't care. He's the man.
He's just going to huck it.
Just ask him.
Well, here's what I think about this game. Green Bay is a solid team. Both sides of the ball, I think you can count on what you're going to get from Green Bay. Chicago, I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to get from Cutler week to week, and that just provides question marks. You got to see him a couple of weeks before you can start betting him, especially with the new offense.
Well, and it's a Sunday night game, and that's huge in the Pixley system. For those of you that have not read our site over the last couple of years, the Sunday night game is usually pretty easy to predict by looking at the trends during the day. For instance, if you get a lopsided favorite to dog, especially in the afternoon game, you bet the dog coming in, or vice versa. I do like Chicago on the outside. Weather isn't an aspect in this. Divisional game, don't like giving points away. I think Chicago wins this game outright and sends the Packers packing, so to speak.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. We got a doubleheader on Monday night. Monday night is a big night at MrPixley.com because of the trends that develop during the week. We got Buffalo with my man, T.O., taking on New England's line opened at -10.46.5. Has moved to 11 at 47.5. If it wasn't New England, I would hate 11. But Buffalo is brutal. I was just reading something this week about how T.O. was pissed for half a day about the fact that they've gone to a no-huddle, and then he accepted it because he realized he may get the ball. And I say may because he has yet to step out there. And B, I don't think their quarterback's hit any of their other receivers either. So I like the favorite in this one.
Well, you have to like the favorite. The Patriots are coming in. They got all kinds of stuff to prove after last year missing the playoffs for the first year in about 2 decades, it seems like. Buffalo is one of those teams, like the Texans, and I don't think we really mentioned it, but everybody's kind of been watching them at the beginning of the year, the last 3 or 4 years. Buffalo's kind of like that as well. Everybody sure. thinks they're going to be good at the beginning of the year, and they just turn out to be another 8-8, 9-7, 7-9 type team. It's going to be the same story this year, if not worse, because 2's going to blow the whole thing up. And the Patriots are just going to freaking dominate them in the first week.
I don't like opening up on the road at Buffalo, especially in that divisional game. I think New England wins this by 152 points.
Easily.
Which, for those of you that are keeping score at home, that means it's going over as well. Single-handedly on
Tom Brady's arm.
And Giselle might come in and play backup, because I hear that they don't have much at backup right now. Our last game, which is one of those, that, and I'm going to talk about this throughout the course of the year, San Diego at Oakland. This game opened with San Diego laying a touchdown on the road Monday night. We hate that. Has now moved to 9.5. Okay, I know that Mike Tyson Cable has had his issues. I know that Richard Seymour hasn't shown up yet. I know that Jamarcus Jarussell doesn't necessarily have the skills to play. Jeff Garcia's on waivers. It's the San Diego bias, one more time. The San Diego bias, in my opinion, is one of the biggest things in the NFL right now. And essentially what it means is that San Diego is the closest NFL city to Las Vegas. So all of the casual bettors, Mr. $5, Joe Sixpack, goes to Vegas for the weekend. If the Chargers are playing well, they hammer them. If the Chargers suck, they bet the other team. So you always get an extra 2 points either way. And you could go back historically. Look at last year with the Steelers playing the Chargers at home. Everybody in Vegas is hammering the Chargers. The Steelers win by 2 touchdowns. I like Oakland in this. I like Oakland a lot in this. Divisional game, Monday night, laying over a touchdown.
That might be the only time this year anyone on the face of this planet says, I like Oakland. And that's all I really have. Oakland is the worst. Oakland is a worse franchise than Detroit. They're a worse franchise than Cleveland. There's no chance. And
this coming from a guy who's wearing a starter jacket in this studio right now.
San Diego coming in as the quote unquote sexy pick for all these guys in the AFC. No. It's too much to prove for Tomlinson, for Rivers.
Tomlinson is 32 years old. He's on the downturn. Merriman will be lucky if he plays once Tila Tequila goes and sees the DA. They have issues.
It doesn't matter. Oakland has issues like nobody else in the world. They're terrible.
I disagree, but why speculate? I'm going to talk about one more trend. Well, let's just talk about this. Road favorites since 2000 are 38-63-3. Okay, that's a 62% hit rate. Road favorites at more than 7.5. This is 9.5. Do not like it. Play the trend. Play the data. Play the numbers. You got to go with Oakland here. I may ring the bell. We got to get a bell in here for next year. I'm going to get a bell. This is Master Lock 2 of the week. Okay. Cincinnati or New England will roll in that early game. We got a favorite covering. We come back with the dog for late night. I love it. I absolutely love it. Don't forget they have Darren McFadden in the backfield.
Oakland is a dog. That's for sure.
I love Oakland. One other little tidbit that I looked up this year, this concept of new head coaches. There are many of them, Tom Cable being one, although he's was an interim last year. Since 1999, new head coaches against the spread in week one are 22-25-1. Not much to go on there. But the under hits at a staggering pace. They are 17-31 with unders being the play there. Any of these new coaches that you see coming out, seriously consider playing the under on those. That trend continues if you just look at new coaches since 2005 at 8-12. I like the under, and I get it. I get how the line will adjust. I get how these new coaches, they may not win the game, they may not cover, but they're definitely not scoring.
Well, it's definitely the case with Kansas City. Kansas City would be lucky to get above 10. I don't know, what's the line in that? 35?
Yeah, 35.
Yeah. Easily. Playing with Baltimore, that's an under. That's a lot.
I love it. So that's week one for you on the handicapping scene. If you have any opinions, I'd prefer not to see those about the Steelers pick tonight. But if you have opinions, please feel free to email us, picks@mrpixley.com. Click the link. Hit the site, read the blog. We'll be tweeting all day long on Sunday. We're out here to entertain. We're out here to hit a couple of winners. And ultimately, we're out here to go 70% or higher over the course of the year. I don't quite know what we're going to play this week, but we've broken these down for you. And as the lines change, things adjust. Injury reports come out. Tom Brady is questionable for the 9th straight year in a row on opening day. I think he's doing okay. Pretty sure he'll play. But we'd like to take a look at all that, see how these trends develop. And we will hit at 70% or greater over the course of this year. Keep track of those trends. We had a dog under hit tonight. Got to like those overs going into week one, especially those with established head coaches. It's about all I have. I think that's a wrap.
That's it, number one.
Week two next week. Look for us on next Friday for the post of the Picks Cast. Look for the opening line report on Tuesday. And thank you very much for logging in to www.mrpixley.com.